Ron and Steve have just returned from a big celebration in England. There was a number of places around the world that Barney has passed on leadership to things that he used to lead in New Zealand. He passed on to someone else things that he used to lead in Europe. He passed on to Steve. But there is still a team of international leaders that would meet on a regular basis once a year with Barney. And some of you might not know who Barney is. Barney is the father of our family of churches called Salt and Light Ministries. And so a bunch of churches that have gotten connected through his leadership. And last weekend, there was a celebration in Oxford honoring all of the work that Barney has been doing among our churches for many years. And then Barney publicly saying, I'm passing on the responsibility to Steve, and that he would be released from the burden of leading and influencing our family of churches in that way. So he's still preaching, he's still traveling, he's still involved, but a number of things are changing like that. So Steve and Ron are with us. They're going to share. We asked them to share what God is doing around the world in many churches. We're going to start with a few worship songs and praise the Lord and thank him and pray to him. They'll speak. We'll have a coffee break. There'll be some food coming out. No ham and eggs, but other stuff. And then they'll speak again, and we'll end at 12 o'clock. Okay, let's stand together. Derek, you want to lead us? Do feel free to pray out and commit this time to the Lord throughout this time. We just take 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Turn to someone beside you and just pray. Amen. Okay. Which one of you is going to? Steve will start. We're going to record.
Okay. All right. Well, it's great to be here again. Actually, Ron came in April, but I couldn't get here in April because of the volcanic ash that was covering our nation at that time, so all of our flights were grounded at the end of April, so I didn't get here, but gather you had a good time with Ron here. What we want to try and do this morning, as David has asked us to, is to try and give you a feel of some things that are happening in the Salt and Light family of churches, round the world. And that's what we're going to try and do, and then Ron's going to talk specifically about one particular project that they've been involved in. And this isn't just to sort of, say, here's some very nice people. What we want to try and do is to highlight what they're up to, spiritually speaking, what's going on in their neck of the woods, how they're touching people. And perhaps from that, we can also sort of say, so how can we touch people in our neck of the woods? Are there things that we can learn from others? So that's what we're going to try and do. Now, as David said just last week, actually we had quite a major gathering of our international family of leaders over in the UK. We had about 75 leaders from different nations together for a few days for a consultation together, saying sort of where are we going in the future, what is God saying to us at this point of our journey. To explain for any who don't know where we've come from, a family of leaders and churches gathered around Barney Coombs from, I suppose, the late 70s onwards. It wasn't a design. I mean, nobody had a plan to start off a family of churches. There are lots of different families of churches, of course there are. And nobody had a design or a plan to start another one. But what happened because of Barney Coombs's fatherly leadership, leaders, I suppose like Ron and myself, gathered around him. I mean, some of us were also embarking on sort of a charismatic life in the churches that we were leading, needed a father and a guide, and here was someone who was, you know, a few steps ahead and had a lot of wisdom and grace and encouragement for us. And so around Barney grew, quite a number of leaders. And eventually we realized actually that God was doing something bigger than all of us, I guess, in connecting these guys together. And I hope in some of the pictures I'm going to show you in a moment through a PowerPoint presentation, you will also get a feeling that actually this is bigger than we might have imagined, and it's touching more people than we might have imagined. And if you can help and encourage and guide sort of key leaders in churches and nations in different places, you can actually influence quite a lot of people. I mean, that is fairly obvious, and that is what's happened. A couple of years ago, we became clear, Barney had gathered around him an international team of leaders, and we used to meet once a year to discuss matters of theology, pastoral practice, what was going on in our churches, the nature of the kingdom of God, all sorts of things. But we became aware a couple of years ago that God was actually changing some things, wanted to change some things in our international team. God started to speak quite clearly to that end. And so the meeting that we had last week was a time of consultation. What is God saying to us? Where are we going? What are the important building blocks of the way that we're working together? And it was also a time of transition of leadership, as Barney had felt God speaking to him about pulling back from the overall leadership of the international team. And God clearly spoke to me, I have to say, 18 months or so back, that I should step up. God had spoken to Barney. I'll tell you the story because it's quite a good story, I think. We were actually in Morocco together, our international team, and we sat around one day and we just started talking. We had the sense God wanted to get our attention, and nobody quite knew where this conversation was going, but we started to talk about the nature of our life together and what we were doing and whether this team had come to the end of its shelf life and we needed God to do something new. So we were ready for anything at that moment. And the following morning, I had a waking dream. I'm not a great dreamer, and I don't, people say you dream all the time, but I don't remember dreams. They don't seem, it's not one of those things for me. I had a waking dream, and it was very vivid. And Barney and I were sitting in the front of a car, and I was just aware there were quite a few passengers behind. It was a big car, quite a few passengers behind. Barney was driving. It was a left-hand drive car. Barney was at the wheel, and we went into this long tunnel. Then in my dream, we came out of the tunnel. We were still sitting in the same places in the car. Barney was on the left, and I was on the right. But the steering wheel had changed over, and it was now a right-hand drive car, and I was driving this car. So this was very, very interesting. So I woke up with this sense, and it was very, very vivid and very strong. But I didn't quite know what to do with it. Because you don't go to the team leader and say, you're not driving anymore, I'm driving. I mean, that's just not the way you operate, is it? It's not. So I sort of sat on this for a couple of days, and I prayed that, somehow, if there was anything in this, it would come out. I have to say, our conversations went round and round for a couple of days, and it was no wise. And eventually I thought, well, there's nothing for it. I'm going to have to talk to Barney about this. So Barney and I sat down in a little corner, and I said, Barney, I need to share with you a dream I had. I said, but I am very, very embarrassed about sharing this with you. I shared with him the dream. And he said, Steve, that is wonderful. God spoke to me a few months ago that I should pass the leadership of the team on to you. And I was waiting for him to speak to you. So we had this conversation, you know, for a few minutes in the corner of the room, and we go straight back into the team meeting. He says, why don't we tell everybody, you know, what God's been saying? So actually, we did. We shared the dream, and the team said, yeah, actually, we believe this is of God. So it was clear that we were coming to a point of transition. So last week, we had this international gathering to try and sort of just share a little bit about where we're going, what we're doing, and then we had a time of transition. We had a time of honoring Barney for his leadership for over 30 years, which has been very, very significant, very formative for us all. And Barney and Jeanette were both honored really, really well. It was lovely. From all these different international leaders, you know, they were really honored, and it was a great time. And I think they were very touched, and you know, we felt that sort of. Actually, Barney didn't want it. When we first broached with him, and Ron and I were both involved in the conversation. When we first broached it with him, he said, "Oh no, you know, when I die, you can say whatever you like, you know." But and it's one of those funny things, isn't it, that we often say nice things about people when they've gone instead of saying it before they've, you know. Anyway, but so. We said, now, actually, Barney, we feel this is important for us, not just for you. It's important for us to express what we need to express, you know, of our gratitude for your leadership and our appreciation of it. And, you know, there's lots of different people who'd like to express something. So we had some great contributions. And then at the end of this time, and we prayed for Barney and Jeanette and release them from any burden that they've been carrying, you know, over the years through the leadership that they have been exercising. And then they prayed for Lorraine and me as we took that leadership on. So that's what was going on. I'd like to introduce you to some of the people who were there at this, and some of them you will have seen, and some of them you may have heard of, some of them may not mean anything to you, but they're all precious and lovely people who are actually part of an international family, which makes us feel very rich. So, Katrina, can we do it? Here we are. So, all I have done, in fact, is to take all the delegates, you know, that were at this thing, and I'm just going to talk through here. Then we'll mention some of the things that they're involved in. Now, Burundi, of course, you have had connections with for several years. And so we're starting straight off with the African delegates. This one doesn't look quite so African, but he is really in his heart. So we've got here Edmund and Faith Kivuyi, who lead a very, very large church in the capital of Burundi called Bujumbura. It's the Église Vivante, or Living Stones Church. There's about 7,000 or 8,000 members in that church, so that's a very lively gathering. And they have a number of evangelistic and medical ministries that go under the name of African Revival Ministries that are associated with them. This gentleman, I think most of you know, Ray Bale, who obviously was part of this church many, many moons ago, and then went up to Vernon. And Ray and Marianne are just doing a sterling job there in Burundi. Their hearts, as you probably all know, because I think he was here just recently, they were here just recently, weren't they, is to pioneer some work into Congo. Congo is one of the neediest nations in Africa at the moment because of civil war that they've had there for many years now. And so Ray and Marianne want to pioneer into that nation as well. This man, Edmund, it's interesting how they posed here because Edmund is quite tall and Faith is pretty short, actually. So they posed here in a slightly different way. He is a sort of significant leader in the nation. He knows the president of Burundi well. President of Burundi is a Christian and goes with Edmund on certain missions into different places. It's a very, very interesting relationship. They keep it pretty quiet. They didn't talk about it in the nation very much, but this guy is a significant sort of spiritual leader in the nation of Burundi. And Edmund was rather sort of landed with the leadership of the Église Vivante Church because his father and mentor in the Lord, David Enderahutsi, was killed in a plane crash. Quite young. It was very interesting. Just before this accident happened, David Enderahutsi had thrown his jacket over Edmund and passed a mantle of leadership, an anointing for leadership, onto him. And you always wonder, well, what do these guys know in the spirit when that sort of thing happens, you know? But shortly afterwards, he was killed, and Edmund was landed with the leadership, and Barney became a father in the Lord to Edmund, and Edmund has always sought out Barney's wisdom. So this has been a very, very special relationship. Lots of different medical and evangelistic ministries going on in Africa. Now, I'll talk a little bit about Africa, but not a lot, because frankly, church planting and evangelism in Africa has very little bearing to how we have to do it here. If you want to plant a church in Africa, as many of you know, all you need is a tree and a Bible. You know, you find a tree and you open your Bible and you preach and you've got 100 people. And that is delightful church planting, but I don't know that we've got a lot to learn from it, if you know what I mean. It just doesn't, it's not going to work that way in Vancouver, I don't think. But I'll tell you what we can learn from these guys. We can learn faith to move in the power of God. Because these guys are men of faith, and that's why things happen around them, and they're men of anointing. And I have to say, I love being around guys like this guy. I mean, the first time I walked into Église Vivante Church, just standing there unsuspectingly, and Pastor Edmund walks in, and demons start manifesting left, right, and center. I mean, just as he turns up, demons start manifesting. And I don't know in the West how much we believe in the demonic. I mean, I know we do in theory. I know we do in theory, but I was thinking about this yesterday, and I'm going to just tell a little story. And this is probably what this presentation is going to be like. It's sort of wandering here and there, and we'll see where we go. But David Ferguson, last night, as the elders met, read a scripture or prophesied from a scripture, which I have been thinking about quite a lot recently, and I'll tell you why. Because it has some personal sort of bearing on. I hope I can find that scripture. Where is it? My Bible's becoming a little loosely. I hope there's no pages missing. Anyway, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And Lorraine and I have had reason just in the last few months to reflect a little bit on how easy it is for strongholds of the mind to be established even in ourselves. And we walked our 21-year-old daughter Esther she's been through a quite profound sort of illness this year. She really is a very godly girl, lovely girl, but she took a year out in Belgium through this year to practice her French language speaking. She's doing French and German at university, and she started getting very sick indeed, and she had bouts of sickness and diarrhea while she was away, and they were recurrent. They just kept coming and coming and coming, and She lost an enormous amount of weight. She lost about 28, 30 pounds of weight, and she wasn't a big girl to start off with. I mean, you know. And she got into quite a lot of fear over eating. Anyway, at a certain point, actually it was early May, I was over in the US speaking at a leadership conference at Fort Wayne, and my wife Lorraine had to go to Belgium and sort of bring Esther home because she was really so poorly. She'd lost so much weight, and she was very skinny indeed, just a bag of bones. And I mean, it was an eating disorder of sorts. Not that she wanted to lose weight or take control of that, but it was just she was going through this recurrent gastroenteritis thing. And we brought her home and Lorraine started to feed her up. We just decided that, this was the best place to try and feed her up and sort out the problems. And, I went off for a trip to Rwanda and in the first couple of days while I was away, Esther started struggling again with another bout of gastroenteritis. One night, she was in the bathroom and, things were flowing both ends sort of thing. It was an unpleasant thing. And Lorraine was in the bathroom with her. And Lorraine just sort of saw red. I mean, just got mad at this thing. And she started on a bout of deliverance with Esther. And she came against this spirit that was, that was affecting her. And and they just had 3/4 of an hour to an hour sort of warfare in the bathroom. And particularly the strongholds of the mind, which were stopping Esther eating. And it was a very, very powerful drama. I mean, I'm stuck in Rwanda. I was no use, but probably I didn't need to be there. This was time for, it was a bit intimate, and it was time for them to do it. But, from then, everything turned round. And, Lorraine and I have talked quite a lot since then, because, Lorraine didn't start on this with a sense of, this wasn't reason. This was born out of spiritual passion and revelation or what, just, we got to do something here. We got to go to war. This won't do. And I suppose, I wonder if we Christians in the West, they go to war all the time is the point that I'm making. They go to war. They understand where the war is. We have just as many demons in our culture as they have, but we don't go to war in quite the same way. And I wonder if we need to think more about this warfare. And sometimes what happens is that we become enfolded, in ways of thinking. And we become rather sort of resigned to things not changing or being like that, Somehow we need to wake up, don't we, and go to war against some things around us, even some mindsets in ourselves. When we become faithless, when we become passive, when we become accepting, resigned, when are we going to wake up and go to war? Anyway, that's the sort of thing you learn from these guys. They live in the warfare, okay? And they can teach us a lot about faith. Most of these guys are giants of faith compared with us. There is no question about it. Now, this could be slow. This is only the first slide, but anyway. Let me introduce you to the next people from Africa. This is Bishop JB and Pasha Masindi. They love, their bishops in Africa, and JB Masindi is a bishop. But he's one of us. He leads a large church called Deliverance Church in Nairobi, in this place called Umoja, church of about 6,000 or 7,000. They work together with a number of other churches in the nation as well. And They also oversee some Kenyan churches in the UK. That's an interesting aspect. And they had with them this evangelist, Becky Baraka, who leads their women's and evangelistic ministry in the church. Here also, they are giants in the nation. There is no question about it. Powerful leader. When you go to their church, you just have a great time. Three services every Sunday morning. 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 11 o'clock in order to get all the people in. If you're preaching 7 o'clock, that's great. If you're preaching 9 o'clock, it's getting a bit warmer. And if you're preaching at 11 o'clock, you're in trouble. You're under a tin roof, and then you just sweat. Anyway, they're great guys. Let's move on to the next one. Rwanda. This is a fairly new connection for us. This is a couple called Anani and Immaculée Bagaragaza. It's a wonderful name, isn't it? And especially the wife's name, Immaculate. How about giving your daughters the name Immaculate? There you go. Anyway, there we are. They have a network of 42 faith churches, which they lead in their own right. Some of you will remember that in 94-95, there was a terrible genocide in Rwanda, and millions of people were slaughtered in the genocide. It's one of the sad blots on their history. And when they came out of that, when Christians came out of that, they basically said to one another, this must never happen again. This is the most awful event that ever happened, that, you know, one tribe should slaughter another so ruthlessly, and the madness that took over. Have any of you seen the film Hotel Rwanda? Well, you will have seen some of that on that film. I mean, it's not sort of film you can watch with ease, is it? But you're sort of captivated by it as well, because the madness that took over the nation then. And the churches after that, they said, we must never let this happen again. And they decided to form an alliance of churches called Salt and Light. And there are about 750 churches in this network of churches in Rwanda. And it's remarkable. David Freeman, who some of you know, was the first one, that's Andrew Freeman's father, was the first one to come across these guys when he was in Rwanda speaking on Christian education. And he came back home and said, Steve, you have got to meet these guys. You know, there's something significant going on. And when they heard that we were part of Salt and Light, they said, well, we're Salt and Light. Maybe God means us to be together. And so Anani and Immaculée came over to one of our leaders' conferences a couple of years ago. Just liked the atmosphere that he felt amongst us. And then I visited Rwanda with David last May. And I have to say, there is a significant joining of God here with them. Their DNA is exactly the same as ours, and they said, we want to be part of your Salt and Light family. So there we are. We've received 750 churches, you know, into the family just like that. Now, it's you know, you have to say there's a lot of different sort of things going on here, different shades. It's not quite that simple, but they have a significant apostolic vision, significantly similar spiritual genes, and we're going to be working with them quite closely over the next few years. I had never been to Rwanda before. I was impressed with Rwanda. It has a Christian president who's just been re-elected, who actually is a fairly strong leader. He has rooted out most corruption in his government. If he finds anyone in his government taking bribes or payments that they should not take, they are thrown out of his government straight away. I mean, he is very strong on it. And he just thinks nation after nation, Africa has ruined itself by corruption. And he's determined to root it out of Rwanda. There is a strong work ethic in Rwanda. It's one of the cleanest African nations I have ever visited. And everybody goes off to work in the morning. There's no sort of standing around in the streets, which you see in lots and lots of other African nations. And one senses there's something special happening. So there we are. That's Rwanda. And the next one, please. Uganda. Well, we've probably heard quite a lot about Uganda over the years because Barney has been connected with Uganda for years and years and years. Deliverance Church Uganda is a network of 270 churches. I said a network of several hundred churches here, but it's actually 270. Nicholas and Betty Wafula led the team for many years and then handed over to this brother, Titus Owundo. They're just great guys. Again, you're at home, you're in family when you go there. They're just like us. They express themselves the same in terms of spiritual dynamic. The presence of God is there when they worship. They want to see the lost reached with the kingdom. They want to see churches planted. And we also had a doctor with us at our conference last week, Jan White, who's been working as a doctor in Uganda for 20-odd years now. She is a pioneering doctor. I mean, she's just a wonderful lady. Goes in where angels fear to tread, fights with everybody in order to see something good established for God. She's one of these intrepid pioneers and won't be put off by anything. Did Rebecca work with her for a bit? How did she find that?
Yes. Rebecca.
This is being recorded. You just want to come to the microphone.
Rebecca, when Rebecca, my eldest daughter, was in kindergarten, she was four, and Jay and Vicky Dangers came to stay in Winnipeg for a number of months, and they had pioneered an orphanage in Uganda, and Rebecca got it into her head somehow she would become a nurse and go to Uganda. So she became a nurse, and a few years ago she went to Uganda for 3 months. She worked with Jan White. And while she was there, she discovered she couldn't do enough to help people. So she said, I'm going to become a doctor. So she came back, she upgraded and applied, became a doctor. And last year in her second year, or it was either first or second year of medicine, she took a team of med students back to Uganda to work with Jan White. So I think Jan's got it in her head somehow Rebecca's going to be her replacement. So remains to be seen.
Okay, well, that's Uganda. And finally, in Africa, Zimbabwe. This is Ngwiza Mkandla, who leads a group of churches called the Faith Ministries. What you will see, by the way, is each of these groups of churches has their own name. So in Uganda, it's Deliverance Churches. In Zimbabwe, it's Faith Ministries. In Rwanda, it's Salt and Light Churches. Because what we don't want is a franchise and a brand that goes everywhere. We want there to be something authentically indigenous about each family of churches. We're a family of families. And we're well-connected and well-related, but we want each one to be self-governing. It's not run from the top. They're running their own show. And if ministries go in and out, they help and they serve, but they don't own or, direct. So Ngwiza he's a general, this guy. He is really a superb leader. He's tall, dignified, authoritative, and just a wonderful guy, standing up straight and clear. For 5 years, he lived in the States because he led a ministry called Dawn, discipling a whole nation, a ministry that encourages saturation church planting. Church planting is his passion, and he has been responsible for inspiring tons of church planting in Zimbabwe. But last year, it was clear that his time leading Dawn was up, and he went back to Zimbabwe. And that's a testimony to the sort of man he is, because a lot of leaders are tempted to stay in the West. And so that he went back to his own nation once again, I think, is testimony to who he is. He's a great guy. We love these guys very, very much. Okay, let's see who else we've got now. Here we are. The Francophone nations. We have a Francophone team. That means French speaking. Jean Pianel, who's the guy up top right, I don't know why he's looking so severe on this picture, because he is always laughing and joking. But for some reason, when he's had his picture taken here, he looks really serious. Jean Agnès lead a church in Marseille. Was anybody here was on that team that went to Marseille a few years ago? Yeah? Okay, Miguel. Well, you would have met these guys. And these guys are fiery evangelists, and that's who they are. And in France, which is a strongly secular nation, you need people with passion and anointing, and that's who these guys are. They're prayers. For years, they led a YWAM team. They led one of the YWAM bases in France, and realized after a bit they were doing all the mission stuff, but none of the church stuff, and their passion is for church and mission. And so they said, well, we've got to go and plant churches. And so they stepped outside of YWAM, and now they're doing church planting and mission stuff as well. They have a passion for all of the nations around the Mediterranean. So Algeria, Tunisia, Mauritania, Spain, Italy, all those nations, they have, that's their passion. That's what they want to see filled up with churches and the presence of God. They are great friends. I work personally quite a lot with these French-speaking ministries here. And Mark and Sarah Walter, actually through getting a revelation about, you know, having an apostolic missional church and church not being just a nice cozy pastoral community, got thrown out of the church they were leading, and so have ended up planting a church in Lausanne, which is going well. And this guy, Eddie Wallet, leads a church in Lille in France, but with a real vision for planting in Belgium, because he is Belgian. So we're touching those nations at the moment of France, Switzerland, and Belgium. But, you know, obviously there are French-speaking nations elsewhere in the world as well, and eventually they have a passion to, you know, lengthen their reach into more of the French-speaking African nations, French-speaking Canada as well. So there you go. That's the French teams. They're called Destiné. That means destiny, obviously. All right, so we keep going. Here we are, the Nordic team. This is slightly complicated. The Nordic team, which was formed a couple of years ago, is a team for Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland. Okay, it's called the Nordic team, you know, because that's obviously Northern Europe. Dave and Chris Richards are very, very involved here. Some of you will know Dave and Chris historically, maybe. They're Brits, but they're working into Scandinavia, spend a lot of their time there. And they bumped into this guy called Buck Hudson, who's an American cowboy. That's his origins. In Sweden, Buck lives in Sweden and have been working with these various churches and leaders in Sweden. There's a network of several churches now across Scandinavia, and it's just very, very exciting what's going on. They're doing a lot of church planting. This guy is fascinating, Mats Norden. Mats Norden is a pioneer who does crazy things and just listens to the Lord. So one day he's praying, and as he's praying, he hears this word, taco. And he goes and says to his brother, have you ever heard of a taco? And his brother says, no, what's a taco? And Matt says, I don't know. I to unsaved people in our community, and the word I heard clearly from God was taco. So they did their research and discovered, of course, it was a Mexican food. And on the strength of that, they opened a restaurant for Mexican food in Vesteros, which is the town where he lives, which had never seen Mexican food. They just never seen a Mexican restaurant, didn't know anything about it, but they opened the Mexican restaurant, and it became the, the restaurant of the city. I mean, and they just started reaching out to all sorts of people through this Mexican restaurant. So there you are. You want a little lead on how to do it in a Western nation. Just listen to God and do whatever he says. Okay. They have all sorts of ministries in this town of Vesteros, to all sorts of down and outs. And his wife, Monica, is a ferocious prayer. He's the pioneer and she's the prayer. I mean, they're just a great partnership. We love these guys. And, as far as Europe is concerned, we started, meeting people from all sorts of different nations, and it just is very, very enriching.
Yeah.
You just feel this is wonderful, and it's like every nation has blinkers on until you get expanded by lots of other nations, isn't it? This guy's a Finn, and Finns are serious people, He's one of them, but great guy. Seeing quite a work of God's sort of coming out of what was a very traditional denominational church. He's a wonderful guy, Stefan. We love him. So that's the Nordic team. Who else have we got? Ukraine. This guy, I have deep respect for, Viktor Moskovenko, was a Baptist pastor and was a teacher in a Baptist college, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, got some connections with a brother of ours who leads a church in Worcester, Rick Thomas, and out of that sort of started connecting with us. He found it necessary to step outside of the Baptist church a little bit. He started planting all sorts of churches around him with people that he's trained up. He's got people that he looks after, but he's very much on his own, and he loves coming to our gatherings and getting encouragement through fellowship with others. He got more than he bargained for at our meeting, because on the Thursday night, I think it was, various people gathered around him, started praying, and he got a good dose of deliverance. You think pastors, the pastor need deliverance? Well, when things start sticking to you in the process of ministry, actually, yes. And sometimes we just need release from stuff that's been sticking to us and bogging us down and, making us weary and all the rest of it. And the following morning I said to him, "Well, Viktor, how are you doing this morning?" He said, "Whew, I've not felt so light for years." Just wonderful. He's a great guy, training other leaders, overseeing a number of church plants. And I think that Lesia, is it, is somehow connected with them.
Lesia.
Okay, somehow connected with them, but I don't know quite how. Anyway, there you are. That's Ukraine, United Kingdom, some of the thugs from United Kingdom. Mark and Esther Mumford lead the UK team. We used to have one team for Europe, but eventually it became clear to us we need to separate UK team off for various reasons. So Mark and Esther lead that team now. Andy and Emma Barclay-Watt lead a base in Manchester. I say a base because it's a large church which is trying to plant many other churches. One of our thrusts in the UK is to try and establish apostolic bases, churches that are training, sending, planting. That's been our thrust. And I have to say, Andy and Emma are two of the best at that. And Manchester is one of our sort of you know, leading apostolic bases, planting out around them, training up people very intentionally to go out and plant. And, you know, when I hear of the story in Trail and what's happening there, you know, and the great blessing, I think, so we need a few more of those, don't we? And a bit more blessing and keep giving away. And perhaps we need to train up a few more, and other people need to get vision as well. So there we go. Andy and Emma are just great people. Andy is just a huge enthusiast about everything. I mean, he's a sportsman. Some of you I know don't understand cricket, but he's very keen on cricket. And, you know, but he reaches out quite a lot through sports ministry, and always on the golf course, or, you know, playing cricket, or he's the chaplain of one of the local soccer teams in Manchester. I mean, just everywhere he can, you know, put out tentacles, they're out there. Phil and Helen Norris, some of you may remember Phil Norris because he came here to Regents. Phil and Helen lead the churches in Basingstoke, and Martin and Linda Dunkley lead our churches in the northeast. And again, these are all sort of, you know, significant players, leaders, looking how can we plant, how can we grow, how can we build, how we can we gather in. These guys in the northeast are just seeing people born again hand over fist. Did you have some people born again on Sunday morning?
Well, there were 15 people that raised their hands to pray and receive Christ, but nobody made it from the seat over to the table, so they got a bit of work to do on that.
Okay, but most Sunday mornings, they have handfuls of people who are born again in their meetings, and they're just fearless proclaimers of the gospel. They believe that people ought to be being saved week by week.
Yeah.
That's what they expect. People are supposed to bring non-Christian friends to all their meetings. And anyway,
what church do you think,
Pastor? This is church in Teesside, but they have a group of churches around them. It's called TVCC, Tees Valley Christian Community, I think, or something. Community Church, yeah. A lot of our churches in the UK are opening what we call CAP centres. That means Christians Against Poverty. And this is to help people who hit financial hard times, which, of course, are quite a few at the moment. But, you know, even at the best of times, there are people who find it a challenge to manage money. So, so it's advising people on the use of their money, on stewardship, on budgeting, and praying in miracles. And they just see a number of people born again through that as well. So Christians Against Poverty is one of the means that we use. And let's move on to the next one. Oh, here's some other people. Again, because it was in the UK, I have to say a few extras snuck in to the gathering. Vic and Jenny, Gledhill, some of you know Vic. I think he's 70 this year. Still globe-trotting madly in all sorts of countries, India, Pakistan, Nigeria, Kenya, as passionate for God as ever. David Freeman, obviously working on Christian education, seeing Christian schools planted everywhere. I mean, he is, as you will all know, passionate for that. In many, many places, nations of this world, Muslims are planting schools as a way of influencing the future of those nations. And that's one of the reasons why David is as passionate as ever about seeing Christian schools established, so that, you know, the next generations really do get the right foundations sown into them. So there we are. Mike Beaumont is a Bible teacher. David Oliver is a prophet. Okay, let's keep moving. Here we are. Now, here is a prince of a man. Some of you, I know, have met Stanley and Esme Mehta. They lead what was formerly known as Bombay Baptist Church, but just got sort of baptized in the Holy Spirit and have seen a huge move of, you know, people come to Christ, and they've got 80 churches now that they've planted since about 1982. Stanley is an administrator for the Kingdom of God. I mean, literally, you know, he thinks strategically, what do we need to do? We need to train people like this, so we train people and we send them out and we organize it like this. And he tries to keep all of us in Salt and Light organized as well. I mean, he is, I have the deepest respect for Stanley and Esme. They're wonderful people. So they have congregations now in Sri Lanka, Nigeria, Myanmar, and United Arab Emirates, and are about to plant into Nepal as well. They're great visionaries and just diligent. They have lots and lots of different ministries to street people in Bombay especially, prostitutes. I mean, a lot of people grow up on the streets in Bombay, you know, lads who grow up on the street could get into crime. You know, they try and give them an education and, you know, invest in them and so on. They're just wonderful people. But a lot of those sort of ministries going on. And these are some other guys from Stanley's world who are with us, significant players in the Indian churches. Okay, what else have we got? New Zealand. Here we are, Fraser and Dale Hardy. They lead a network of 17 churches in New Zealand. They themselves moved from their base a couple of years ago to plant a new church in a place called Hamilton. They're having to fight for, you know, every soul, but they've already got about 80 or 100 there with them in 2 years. They're doing a great job and just really loving being out on the edge again. Nothing like it. Dale gave a wonderful tribute to Jeanette at our celebration last Saturday. But these are, again, but they've been here often enough in the past, so I think a number of you will have met Fraser and Dale. Okay, is there anywhere else? Oh, North America. Here we go. Well, here's some of the characters we had from North America with us. Ron and Mary McLean, Brian and Ros Watts, Dwayne and Marva Harder, John and Leighton Isaacs, Brian and Michelle McCrae. And we'll keep looking onwards because we've got another bunch. This is Coast to Coast is a network. Now, I showed you a picture of Buck from Sweden, the cowboy from Sweden. Okay. Well, he was part of a network of churches called Coast to Coast. Well, they're now called Coast to Coast in the Midwest. He introduced Dave Richards to them. They are led by this guy, Doug Craigbaum. This whole family of churches has really got stuck in with us and joined to us in the Salt and Light family as well. So it's very interesting. These are some of their leaders. Who else have we got, please? Foundations Ministry. I don't know what's happened to Jim there. His
cell phone picture.
Yeah. I think it was his police identikit picture or something. Anyway, there we go. You know these characters, Foundations Ministries. So you've got different spheres of operation, even in North America, as you well know, which Ron will explain a lot more about if he feels like it. Okay, you can ask him the awkward questions about what's going on here. And the final two couples. There we go. Most of this has grown up, you know, under Barney's leadership, and you know, we really do recognise that. And then people have joined in with the team as well and got together. So there we are. There's a little brief sort of survey of some of the people who were together last week. This is the family of churches that, you know, are part of us. And sometimes perhaps in our local churches we're not quite as well aware as we could be of the bigger picture, but there's some of the bigger picture. It's probably coffee time, isn't it? Yes? Does that coffee sound a good idea?
Sure.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow, that was very interesting there. Thank you, Steve. Very helpful to understanding and enlarging our vision. We'll just take 10 minutes, grab a cup of coffee and some baking. Thank you to Jenny and Mary for getting that organized for us, and some of you who baked. So go ahead.